chapter 11. We'll read a few verses tonight. I meant to mention prayer requests. Remember Preacher Melvin, Sister Margaret. I missed them on Sunday and then tonight. And then Kim's mom, Lana, she, when they got down there yesterday, she passed out on them. She stood up in the parking lot after riding all that way. And her, she just not well. She needs our prayers. So we desire your prayers there. Sometimes you don't know what to do, but the Lord knows. So remember her in your prayers if you would. Mark chapter number 11. And we're going to read verse 12 through 14. Then we're going to skip down to verse number 19. And we'll read those verses tonight. Mark chapter 11. This is the 55th lesson we've been in the book of Mark. And Mark chapter 11, verse number 12. Picking up where we left off last week, the Bible said, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it." Verse number 19, the Bible said, "And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." And this is typically called the section in the Bible called the barren fig tree. And that's, we'll stick with that title tonight. I've been studying about this, thinking about it. There's three ways we could study about the barren fig tree. We could look at it typically, what it is in type. We could look at it prophetically, what it's teaching us concerning the nation of Israel. And we could look at it devotionally. And I want to deal with it from the devotional aspect tonight. But we are going to look at the other two. And that'll help us get some perspective and background. But there's a lesson here for our heart as well. And the background of this, if you remember last week when we studied Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11, was the presentation of the king to Israel of their Messiah. Last week we looked at one day. We talked about three different days that Jesus actually came into Jerusalem and went back out. And all three of these are here in Mark chapter number 11. For example, verses 1 through 11 are day number 1. And verse 11 said, "And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the evening tide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Day number 2 begins in verse number 12. "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry." And goes on down the verses we just read. And then Jesus goes in and purifies the temple. That all happened on day number 2. And then day number 3, verse number 19. "And when even was come, he went out of the city." There's another time, verse 20. "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." So that's the beginning of day number 3. So Mark chapter 11 has 3 days in it. Tells us the events that happened on 3 different days. Now, verses 1 through 11 was in fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9 and verse number 9. And this is where Jesus came into Jerusalem on the colt. And they laid the branches on the ground. They cried, Hosanna, verse number 9, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And so that was in fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9 and verse number 9. Israel was made a legitimate offer of their Messiah, that the Lord would come, set up his kingdom. And his kingdom would have been set up at that time if the Jewish people would have accepted their Messiah. And what I say, he made a legitimate offer. His offer to the Jewish people was not for lack of trying. The Bible said, if you remember in the book of Matthew, it talks about over there in chapter number 10 about the disciples being sent out, and the disciples were sent out. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 6, Jesus said, "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He sent the disciples to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Look back in your Bibles in Mark chapter number 7. Do you remember the Syrophoenician woman over there, and her daughter was sick? And her being a Syrophoenician, she was a Gentile. And she came to the Lord and she wanted the Lord to heal her daughter. And the Bible said in Mark chapter 7, verse number 25, he said, "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet." The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, "Let the children first be filled." She was not a Jew. And remember when we went through that, that sort of put you off. Talk about being racially offended. She could have been very offended. But she kept on. Her faith in the Lord Jesus was great. But the Lord wasn't going to do anything for her. And his reasoning was, "Let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs." Her being a Gentile, he compared her as being same as a dog. Not going to take the children's meat and give it unto the dogs, but she had great faith. But all I'm saying is that the Lord Jesus made a legitimate offer to the nation of Israel. And the time has now come in Mark chapter number 11 where they should have accepted their Messiah, but instead of accepting their Messiah, they rejected their Messiah. We'll not get into this tonight, but just look down in chapter 11 in verse number 18. When the Lord Jesus went into the temple, he purified the temple, verse 18, and the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. For they destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. Instead of accepting him, they begin to put their minds and hearts together about how that they could get rid of him, how that they could destroy him. Then we come on down in Mark chapter 11, verse 27. And they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and say unto him, "By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things?" You see, they have an issue with the Lord Jesus. They're not accepting of him. They don't like him. They're continually trying to trap him and put him on the spot. So they reject their Messiah. Now, first of all, we'll think of it a type. The fig tree is a type. And we read here about the barren fig tree. The fig tree is a type of Israel. The fig tree is a picture of Israel. Israel, the nation, should have been ready to receive their Messiah. They had the Old Testament scriptures. They had the prophets. They had the truth. Some of them knew. Some of them were looking for the Messiah. They should have been ready. Israel should have had fruit. But instead, it was barren, and they had no fruit. Verse number 13, when the Lord Jesus came to the fig tree, he found that it had nothing but leaves upon it. There was no fruit upon it. It was barren. And so this is a type of the nation of Israel that should have been ready, should have been fruitful, but instead it's barren, and it has nothing upon it but a show. We'll talk about that a little bit more, about their leafy profession which they had. Just for your information, when you study your Bibles, there are three trees in the Bible that are a picture of Israel. And one is the vine, and one is the fig, and one is the olive tree. So when you're studying and reading in your Bible, and you read about the vineyard, Isaiah chapter number 5, it's talking about Israel over there. Here, the fig tree is talking about Israel. the olive tree, Romans chapter number 11, is talking about the nation of Israel as well. So these trees in the Bible are always a type of Israel. That's the type. Number two, prophetically speaking, there's a prophetic significance here. And what we have also is a prophecy concerning Israel. Israel had rejected their Messiah. Their Messiah rejects them. There's a consequence for rejecting the Lord. And we see this curse that was placed upon the fig tree is a prophecy concerning or having to do with the rejection of the nation of Israel. They're not going to reject the Messiah and just like it didn't mean anything. There's a consequence. When anybody rejects the Lord, there's a consequence. And so there's a prophetic picture here, a foretelling here of what is going to happen to the nation of Israel. Israel was cursed in more than one way. Israel suffered a consequence physically speaking. Israel suffered the consequence of being destroyed in A.D. 70. Titus came in, leveled the whole place, just like the Lord Jesus, it's in Matthew chapter 24, and they were out there talking about the temple and this great building, and the Lord said, there's coming a day, not one stone will be left upon another. And that was one of the accusations against the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we heard him out there talking. He said he was going to destroy the temple. He didn't say he was going to destroy the temple. But he did say that the temple was going to be destroyed. And Jerusalem was destroyed, I mean to the ground, in A.D. 70 by the Emperor Titus. And the Jewish people were dispersed, meaning that they were run into all the different nations. They were dispersed as a nation. They were found all around the globe and never come back together for over 1,800 years. I think it was Napoleon that said one of the greatest evidences that he knew of the Bible being true was the Jewish people. That in spite of everything that had been done unto them, that they still survived and existed in different places. Then in 1948, they came back together again as a nation. So they suffered physically. There's a physical result. Israel was cursed spiritually speaking. Now some people say, well, God's finished with Israel and the church has taken its place. And that is not true. The Bible does not teach that. But a lot of people out here, they've got that language mixed up. You know, they're talking about doing work for the Lord. A lot of times they'll call it kingdom work. When I hear somebody talk about kingdom work, my flags always go up, because a lot of the time what they have in mind is that the church has replaced Israel and God done away with Israel, and now everything God had promised to Israel the church has inherited. And that's just a bunch of mixed mash. That is not what the Bible teaches. The church is the church. Israel is Israel. Romans chapter number 11, if anybody would read that with a mind and a heart to want to understand about what God thinks about Israel, I think it's very plain. Romans chapter 11, verse number 1, Paul said, I say then, hath God cast away his people? That's the whole question of Romans chapter 11. Hath God cast away his people? Is God done with Israel? Verse number 2, Paul says, God hath not cast away his people. But Paul goes on down in Romans chapter number 11 and he uses the figure of an olive tree over there. And he talks about how that the natural branches had fallen off and an unnatural branch is grafted in. That's the Gentile people. But it goes on and it talks about how that once again God will graft in the natural branches. The times of the Gentiles will pass away. And God will pick up with the nation of Israel. And so they're not the one and the same. They're two different entities in the Bible. So there's a type, a message that has to do with the type. There's a prophetic message, but there's a devotional message as well that speaks to our heart. And when I read and study the Bible, I'm always interested in that. No matter what I'm reading, now you need to find out who is speaking, who is being spoken to, the background, the context, all of those things are very, very important. But anywhere in the Bible that you read and study, you can find something for your heart. It's also an error to say, well, that's just for the Jews. There's nothing there for us. There's something here for us. There's something that applies to us. And I always ask, and I want to know as I study the Bible, how does this speak to me? What can I learn from it? And we see beginning in verse number 12, there's number one, there's the search that is made. Verse number 12, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. He came, if haply he might find. He saw the fig tree afar off, and he had on his mind, there's breakfast. Bible said he was hungry, and he came and he looked, expecting and hoping to find figs upon this fig tree. And so we find a search is made first of all. And I notice here who it is that's doing the seeking. The seeker was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. 1 Timothy 3:16, God manifest in the flesh. I believe the Lord knew before he got there was no figs on that tree. So we're not going to get breakfast out of it, but we're going to get a spiritual lesson out of it. We're going to get some food for thought out of it. The seeker that looked upon this tree for figs is the same one that the Bible said in John chapter 1 verse number 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's the creator of the tree. The tree owed its very existence to him. And the Lord had done everything for the tree that needed to be done for it to be a fruitful tree. This is the creator's tree. He had put it in the right place. He had caused it to grow. It was in the right soil. It had received water. It had received nutrients. It had received the proper amount of time. It had received the proper amount of space that it needs to bear figs. It had had sufficient opportunity to produce. We could think the same thing tonight about Israel. God had done everything for Israel. Blessed them, kept them, protected them, watched over them. So we could say, well, Israel. But we could say the same thing about us. Lord's done everything for us. We're only here tonight because God allowed us the breath and the strength and the health and the mind and the heart to come out to the house of God. It is all because of Him. Amen. And so the Lord Jesus comes to the fig tree. In verse number 12, the Bible says, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. It's the Lord's tree. He deserves to get some fruit off of his tree. And it's the same thing with our lives tonight after all that the Lord has done for us. Do you know that the Lord desires to get something out of our lives? Yes, he loves us. He saves us. He wants us to be in heaven with him for all of eternity and enjoy his presence and all the good things. But God desires to get something out of our lives while we're here. If there's nothing for us to do, if there's nothing for, no glory for him to get out of our lives, well, wouldn't it be better if after you got saved, you just went on to heaven, skipped all this rest of this? That's not how it is. The Lord's left us here. God desires to get something out of our lives. He deserves to get something out of our lives. 1 Corinthians 6:19, the Bible said over there, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. We belong to the Lord. He's provided everything to us. He's given us time and space and opportunity. And there ought to be in our lives, upon inspection by the Lord, there ought to be some fruit in there. Notice where he seeks as well. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that does the seeking. But I notice where he does the seeking. The Bible said in verse 13, and seeing a fig tree. Now, he's not looking for fruit on a locust tree. I don't know if they have locusts over here. That just came to my mind. If I was looking for fruit, I would not look in the locust tree. I know what it looks like. It'll stick you. As far as I know, there's nothing edible to it. He's not looking for fruit in a locust tree. He's not looking for fruit in a fir tree. They had those in the Bible. He's not looking to get any fruit out of a thistle bush. You see, there's all kinds of trees in the world, but not all produce fruit. He went to a fruit producing tree. The Lord is not looking to the world to produce the kind of fruit that he's desirous of having, of getting. Not going to get it out of a locust tree, out of a bramble bush. But the Lord Jesus goes to a tree that has a reputation as a fig bearer. A fig. I don't know that much about figs, but I like Fig Newtons. They're pretty good. I'm sure they're full of sugar. That's probably what makes them good. That's about the extent of my knowledge of figs, and I think it would look like a giant raisin. That's just the picture I have in my mind. But the Lord Jesus goes to the fig tree. He goes to a fruit tree to have his hunger satisfied. He goes to a tree that has a reputation that there ought to be some fruit on there. And in the Bible, lo and behold, what does the Bible say about fruit in our lives? Jesus said in John 15, verse number 8, and actually verses 1 through 8 are all talking about abiding in the vine and prayer and fruitfulness. But verse number 8, the Lord Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. God gets glory out of our lives as they bear fruit. Herein is my Father glorified. How does God get glory out of our lives? There ought to be fruit produced out of our lives if we're His. If we belong to Him, if we're Christ, there ought to be some fruit in our lives. There ought to be something life-giving about us. That's what fruit does. There was life there. There was food there. Others ought to see. Others ought to be able to partake of. Others ought to be blessed by the fruit that we produce. And it ought to be reproduced. Not a one-time thing. But there should have been abundant figs upon this tree. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. Well, what is fruit? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, patience. Sure, I've missed some there, but the fruit of the Spirit of God causes there to be fruit produced out of our lives. And so we ask ourselves a question tonight, where the Lord Jesus Christ seeks, do we bear fruit? Do we have fruit in our lives? Or just a leafy profession and no fruit? That's how the fig tree was. It was covered in leaves, but it had no fruit. It looked as if though it should have been full of figs. But upon close inspection, it had no fig. So where he seeks, he looked in the right place. He went to the fig tree. What he seeks, we've already said a little bit about this, but he sought figs upon that tree, fruit upon that tree. Now, the Lord in our lives, the Lord is not looking in our lives for a baptismal certificate. But you know, that's what a lot of people are hanging their eternal salvation upon. Yeah. I've had people tell me, oh yeah, I was saved. I got a certificate when I was baptized. That is not the same. The Lord is not looking on the wall. The Lord is not looking in the family Bible to see if you, when you were baptized. Right. But there are multitudes. Brother John is talking about the Pope visiting. Was I going to say anything about it? And I wouldn't have if he hadn't said that to me and put down. But there are millions. There are millions of people in the world that's what they're hanging all their hope on. There's no fruit whatsoever. But they're a member of a church. They were baptized. They went through a class. The Lord's not looking for a canceled tithe check. All that's just leaves. The Lord's not looking for a membership letter somewhere. All that's just leaves. There's no fruit in that. There's no substance in that. That means nothing in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord does not tell us, now you need to, if you're going to get to heaven, get your baptismal certificate and get your name on the church roll and make sure you give and be kind to your neighbor. No, sir. All that is just leaves. And we find there's a search made. Then we find there's a discovery. Second of all, in verse number 13, a discovery is made. The Bible said he found nothing but leaves. Now, I imagine things when I study it in my mind and I can see the Lord. He eyeballs that tree a long ways off. Afar off is what the Bible says. He makes his way, I imagine in my mind and from reading the scripture here, that he had to go a little bit out of the way to get over to the fig tree. There's a discovery made when he got near it that after he looked thereon, he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. There was an abundant profession. There's leaves all over the tree. Now, I did learn this about a fig tree. A fig tree is, I'll just compare it to something we're familiar with. A fig tree is not like a cherry tree. A cherry tree has the leaves and then the fruit. The fig tree does exactly the opposite. The first thing that comes on the fig tree is the fruit. And the fruit grows and then the leaves come out and they cover and they protect the fruit from the sunshine and the elements and all of those things. So the fig tree, and the Lord Jesus knew this, and the disciples and everybody, they knew if they saw a fig tree at this time of the year that had leaves all over it, that it should have had fruit. Because the fruit comes first, and then the leaves. Boy, isn't there a good lesson there? A lot of people's trying to cover themselves with leaves. Can you think of anybody in the Bible that tried to cover themselves with leaves? Tried to make a fashion statement out of leaves after they disobeyed God and did what God told them exactly not to do, and they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then they were afraid of God, and what the Bible, they sewed leaves together. Tried to make themselves a covering. But fruit has got to come first. And then I'm not saying baptism is not good. Baptism is an ordinance of the church. It's commanded, but it'll not get you to heaven. It comes after. Good works, all these things come after. Tithes, missions, discipleship, following the Lord, obeying the Lord. But there's got to be some fruit first. So a fig tree full of leaves ought to have had figs upon it. Now, especially this tree. Now, you notice in the last part of verse 13, it said, for the time of figs was not yet. The time of figs was not yet. The new figs would generally come on in the land of Palestine about the month of June. This that we're reading about here in Mark chapter number 11, this is the month of April. And to find a tree like this in the month of April was a treat. Because what it meant to find, it mean the time of figs was not yet. It's not time for the new crop. It's not June, it's just April. So to find a fig tree that was covered in leaves at this time of the year, it meant that that fig tree had made it through the winter. Had made it through the hard months and it didn't freeze, but it had brought on more figs and made it through the winter, so it was a treat. It's a treat to find a tree like this, and the harvest did not come. If there's any tree going to have figs on it at this time of the year, it's going to be that fig tree that was covered in leaves. Of course, we know what the Bible says. He came, and he had made it through the winter, and he looked, and it should have had figs, but it had nothing but leaves, is what the Bible said. Look back in Mark chapter number 10, verse number 21. You remember that rich young ruler that came to the Lord Jesus Christ? And verse 17, he said, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Remember him? And the Lord began to question him about the commandments and the law. And verse 20, and he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Verse 21, the Bible said, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest." Boy, isn't that sad? He's a pretty good fella. He's been a real good person. He's been careful to observe the law and honor his father and mother. And he doesn't steal or covet or commit adultery. And like a lot of people's told me down through the years, "Well, preacher, I hadn't killed anybody." We've probably all heard somebody say that. "Well, I haven't killed anybody," but the Lord Jesus said, "One thing thou lackest." Now, we've already studied about him. He wasn't saved. He wasn't saved. He had never been born again. But all that he had was outward adornments. He had all the leaves that looked good, but there was no fruit on the inside of this rich young ruler, verse 22, "And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." But he didn't possess the greatest thing. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. But he had morals. He had spiritual history. He had knowledge. He had all of these things, but they were all just outward adornments. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of people that is all they have. They have outward adornments. And it is easy to get outward adornments. Well, you go to church a little while, you learn some of the lingo, got the right haircut, got the right dress length, got all the right circle of friends and being involved. My wife was a lost Sunday school teacher. She had all the outward adornments. She wasn't going home and sneaking around and doing things. She was religious and going to church and involved and teaching the young people and there every service, but she was lost. That's leafy profession. There's abundant profession sometimes, but that's not what the Lord Jesus Christ was looking for. There was perfect destitution when it came to this fig tree. The Bible said in verse number 13, back in Mark chapter 11, it said in verse number 13, "And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves." Now imagine in your mind, there's a fig tree with leaves, there's going to be fruit on that. "He came if haply he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet." I can just see the Lord Jesus, I can see half his body up under that tree looking for figs. Digging in there, parting the branches, looking up under the underside of it. I can imagine all those things in my mind. But the Bible says that he found nothing but leaves. You think if they'd have been a fig on there anywhere, the Lord could have found it? He could have found it. The Bible said he found nothing but leaves. And I know we've mentioned this many times, but I think about the church at Laodicea. Revelation 3 and 17. The Lord said about that church, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing." The church at Laodicea, they could have said, "Look at us and look at all of our leaves that we have. Man, we're rich. We have prospered." And a lot of people think, well, if you're prosperous, that's a sign of God's blessing. We've got all kinds of goods. We've got this. We've got that. We don't need anything. Look at all of our leaves that we have. But it goes on and says that the Lord Jesus said, "Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked?" See, in their eyes, they thought, well, we're doing real good. But in the Lord's way of seeing things, he said, you're miserable and poor and blind and naked. The way that the Lord looks at things is not the way that we look at things. And then last of all, tonight, there's the judgment. There's a search, there's a discovery, and there is a judgment in verse number 14. And Jesus answered and said unto it, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it. Then you go over to verse number 20. The Bible said, "And in the morning," so they go out of the city and they come back by. "And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him." Now, can you just imagine that in your mind? They heard the Lord the day before say, "No man eat from thee anymore." Now the Lord was all the time doing, saying things. And I say it just sort of went in one ear and out the other to the disciples until the next morning. And they passed by that fig tree again and it looked like a heavy dose of Roundup had took a hold of it. And Peter, calling to remembrance. Oh, I remember what the Lord said about that tree yesterday. "Master," like the Lord didn't know. "Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursedst, that's a hard word to say, is withered away." Now, as far as I know, this miracle that the Lord, and that's a miracle by the word of the Lord. It's the first time there's a destructive miracle. Everything else up to this point has been constructive. It has been beneficial. It has been a blessing. The leper comes, "Lord, wilt thou make me clean? I will be thou whole." That's constructive. Boy, what a blessing. The disciples are on the sea in a storm and they're about to drown and they're afraid, and the Lord Jesus comes, "Peace be still." The storm stops the rage and he feeds the multitudes, he raises the dead, and on it's been blessing and blessing and blessing. But now judgment comes. Judgment eventually comes. We are living now in the day of grace, in the age of grace. And the hand of God's grace is going out and his word, "Be saved, come unto me." 2 Corinthians 6:2, "Behold, now is the day of salvation." Don't put it off. Don't put it off. I know it looks bad, but God is still saving people every day. Isn't that a blessing? Every day. Somewhere, somebody, many times a lot of people, are coming to know the Lord. We may not know in our very close circles, but if you talk and hear around, people still getting saved. The Lord is still drawing. But the day of grace is one day going to be over, and then it's going to be too late. The Bible said in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment," you better be ready before you die. We don't go to the pearly gates and have a fig inspection. We know now, or can know now. If you've not believed, the Bible says we're condemned already. If we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved, the Bible says we pass from death unto life. John chapter 5, verse number 24. But this passage of Scripture reminds us that judgment is coming. And I see that judgment affected the roots of the tree. In verse 20, the Bible said, "And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." Now, a lot of times, in fact, I've got one at my house I cannot figure out how to kill. But you can take away the top. You say, "I killed that thing. It'll never come back." And I walked outside the other day, and it's a listeria vine my grandmother planted. You can't kill them things. I've cut and sprayed Do you know why? Because you cut it off on the top, but it's still alive. It's alive underneath in the roots. And as long as the roots are alive, the thing is going to be alive. But the Bible said here in verse number 20 that this fig, verse number 20, that it was dried up from the roots. All means of grace had been withdrawn. The nourishment had been withheld. It had been cut off from the roots. Now it's really dead. It's not going to ever come back. It's dried up from the roots. The judgment affected the root, the roots. The judgment affected the leaves. In verse number 21, Peter called to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Now if I spray grass killer, weed killer, something like that, I always go back and look. I want to see it turning brown. I want to see it dying. I want to see that it done its job. And that's why I said when they came by the next morning, it looked as if this tree had had a healthy dose of Roundup and it had taken effect. And that tree, which only the day before had leaves all over it, now Peter looked at it and wow. It's withered away. It affected the leaves. The Bible said in Isaiah 55, verse number 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Well, there's a day coming when the day of grace is going to be over. Opportunity is going to be gone. People die every day. Nobody plans to die and go to hell. Everybody plans to eventually make things right with the big guy. You ever hear people talk like that? Me and the man, somebody told me one time, me and the man upstairs have an understanding. Not based upon the Word of God. Better make things right now while you can. The day may come that the tree still stands, but all means of grace has been removed. I think about this. I think about Romans chapter number 1 and the generation that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. God turned them over to vile affections. God turned them over to a reprobate mind. You think there's any people walking around in the world that, yeah, the tree's there, but it's dead. And the means of grace is gone. And they're dried up and withered. And I mean, I even hate to say it, but according to the Bible in Romans chapter number 1, if you've been turned over to a reprobate mind, you cannot get saved. Now that tree might have stood there for years. We don't know. But that tree would have never lived again. The Lord said, no man eat of thee from henceforth forever. You had your time, you had your opportunity, you had your space, you had everything you needed, but no fruit. And God said, no more. And it was dried up from the roots and withered away. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming every day. Every day. We think about it personally, we think about it nationally, we think about it in our community and the people that we are around. Every day is not going to just go on like today. One of these days, things be drastically different. So today's the day of opportunity. Judgment came upon the tree and judgment came upon the nation of Israel. So there's a lot of things to think about when we think about the barren fig tree. And so I hope you get something out of it tonight. I hope, you know, that nobody in our midst would be like the barren fig tree. But if you are, you need to get saved. If it just leaves and nothing on the inside, it's bad shape to be in. All right. I appreciate your good attention tonight. I appreciate you coming out. Let's come to our feet tonight.